Our passage today comes from Romans chapter 15. This passage is the conclusion to the didactic section of Romans, and it's followed by the epistolary section. Two big words. Didactic means teaching. So Paul in Romans has a great deal of teaching. The nature of man, sinful, the position that we have as believers, the position of the Jewish nation, and then the subject of the stronger and weaker brothers. For as many things that have been written before have been written for our instruction. Now, that may refer to the Old Testament, i.e. all of the wonderful things that the Scriptures have recorded in the Old Testament, or it may, in fact, as I've thought, it refers to the things that Paul has written in Romans. Many things have been written, and these things were written for our instruction. When we think of the Scriptures and instruction, what comes to mind is 2 Timothy 3:16. Every Scripture is divinely inspired and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully fitted to every good work. So Paul here is concluding those words that he's written in the book of Romans. And he says, these have been written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Endurance, that's an odd word in some senses to describe the Christian journey. I'm just going to endure. Well, we learn in the next verse where that endurance comes from. Yes, as believers, we need to endure. We need to hold fast to those things that we've learned, that we've been taught, and using those things then to live godly and righteous in this present evil world. But we have hope not only when we endure as believers, but through the encouragement of the Scriptures. When we think of truth in today's world, there are many people who claim to have truth. I posit that there is only one source of truth, the Scriptures. And those truths contained in the Scripture are eternal. They last forever. Psalm says, "Thy word, O Lord, is established forever in heaven." So, you know, we can think about a lot of things, and we can think about a lot of truth. Certainly there's truth in science, but I label that as non-biblical truth. The biblical truth stands a full notch above that. In the biblical truth, we have encouragement. Encouragement to live daily, and in the very end, when we read the book of Revelations, I've told you before that the summary of the book of Revelations is two words. We win. We win. Well, sometimes we didn't win this week, right? But we have the encouragement of the Scriptures. One that we are saved from wrath. We all deserve hell. We all deserve punishment for our sin. And our sin offends our God. But Jesus died. You know the story. It's a wonderful story. It's an encouraging story that Jesus died in our place. And so as we read the Scriptures, we have not only the encouragement of future things, but the encouragement of present things. Through endurance, and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Oops. Where is the source of our encouragement and our endurance? Now, the God of endurance and of encouragement give to you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. What is the sentence that I'd like you to remember today if you remember nothing else? It's right at the top. It's the header. The header for every slide. Let us with one mind glorify God. And Paul, in his in the conclusion to the book of Romans, states this was his purpose. The God of encouragement, of endurance and encouragement, to give to us to be like-minded toward one another. That ye may with one accord and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the same word, one accord, like mind. It's the same word. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and have this mind, that with one mouth you glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very encouraging thing, isn't it? To have our God described as the God of endurance. Scripture says there's no temptation that we're going to face that God hasn't seen before and will not amply provide us the ability to weather the storm. Endurance. And it comes not from our own own will, our own mind. I'm going to endure no matter what. No, it comes from God. And not only that, it comes from God, and we have it, right? We have the endurance that He has given to us. And He is the God of encouragement. For those outside of Christ, God is a God of wrath, whose judgment one day will fall fully on their soldiers, on their shoulders. It is a terrible, awful thing. But for us, it's very different. We have encouragement, the encouragement we find in the Scriptures. It's a wonderful thing. And Paul, in this prayer, a very short prayer, says, the God of endurance and encouragement give to you to be like-minded one toward another. Boy, this is a message that we've seen over and over, isn't it? We see it in the Gospels. Jesus says, love one another. Paul says in the epistles in another place, our goal is love out of a clean heart and a clear conscience and a credible faith. 1 John tells us, love the brothers. Not a request, a command. And here we have that same command. Be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Well, Jesus is the beloved. And we as believers are accepted in the beloved. We're accepted. That is an amazing situation to be in. We were rebels. We were sinners. We were selfish. We didn't care about what God wanted. And then, by His Holy Spirit, He convicted us of sin, showed us the redemption that was in Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit, regenerated us into new life as a new believer. So, according to Jesus, like-minded according to Jesus, yeah, we're accepted in the beloved. And that's what we need to do for each other. For each one of us, we need to accept the others. That's not always been true in this assembly, and probably that's the fact in many assemblies. You know, there are some people that you may not accept. You know, they're the others. But the scripture is clear. We need to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that we may with one accord, with one mouth, glorify God. Let us with one mind glorify God. That's what Paul is telling us here. No uncertain terms. Paul had much to say about the Jews, chapters 9 through 11, where he talks about the future of the Jews and the fact that the Jews were selected. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. So the Jews inherited the promises of God. The promise was that there would be a Savior that would come, a Messiah, who would save all of Israel. And the Jews inherit this promise. Jesus was a Jew. For I say that Jesus Christ became a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises of the fathers. Jesus Christ, a minister of the circumcision. He was a Jew. John tells us that he came unto his own, the Jews, but his own received him not. So he became a minister of the circumcision. In every way, Jesus fulfilled the law. Moses' law was, frankly, impossible to keep for you and for me. But it was what Jesus did fully and completely. Scripture says he was without sin. He came for the truth of God, for the promises of the fathers. The Jews inherit the promises, and Jesus' death and life brought those promises to fruition. Not only now, but in the future. But the Gentiles, that's you and me, we weren't promised anything. But look what we get. Mercy. In our state of sinfulness, what do we get? Mercy. And so we should glorify God for his mercy, his loving kindness. Again, I go back to that verse in Romans 9. Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. God chose us to be in his kingdom. Wasn't any accident. We were chosen of him. Before the twins were born, God decided he would love Jacob. Actually, and hate Esau. And so it was with us. We came into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because he had mercy to us. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But we are the ones that he chose. A wonderful thing to be chosen by the Lord. Well, we go back now to some of the basis of what Paul was writing. And he quotes here in these verses, chapter 10 and forward in Romans 15, he says, we glorify God for his mercy according as it is written. Psalm 18:49, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises to thy name. Even in the Old Testament, God prophesied that among the heathen, you and I, we would sing his praises. And we did so this morning, didn't we? As we met for morning meeting, we sang his praises. I like that verse that was read from John 4. God seeks such to worship him, those that worship in spirit and truth. The heart of God revealed. What does God really want from us? Worship. God seeks such to worship him. Sure, we read in the scriptures that he wants us to be righteous, to live godly, to be pictures of him in this world. But he had mercy to us among the heathen. He says in Deuteronomy, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people." There is one group of people today known as the children of God. Separately, they're known as the Jews and the Gentiles. They are children of God. And so this exhortation from Moses is simple. O ye nations, all nations, rejoice with his people. We are children of God. We belong to him. And then Psalms 117 says, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Again, very clear. We are part of his family. Isaiah 11:10, in the Masoretic text, it says, in that day there shall be a shoot of Jesse, the Lord Jesus, which shall be set up as a banner for the peoples. You notice that Paul doesn't quote from the Masoretic text. He quotes here from the Septuagint. Paul was, after all, a fluent Greek scholar. And he says, that banner, it's Jesus. There shall be a shoot of Jesus, a shoot of Jesse, which shall spring up from the Lord Jesus. In that day, what a day. So, in the conclusion, we come to these final words that Paul gives us. A prayer, again, in Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Boy, here's a word we've heard before in this passage, isn't it? We're to endure and have the patience of hope. And the God of hope, in verse 6, the God of hope and of endurance fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Believing, the word there is pisteo, I believe. And it is more than simply an intellectual consent. Although it is that, it is, as Romans 10 and 9 says, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So believing then is an active thing. It is not something that happened once. Once upon a time, I believed in Jesus. Yeah, that's true. But Paul here is putting it in the present tense. The active aorist. Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. It is the believing in God that brings us that joy and peace. That's what Paul is clearly saying here. God will fill you, but you need to believe. A lot of Christians have stopped believing. And I mean by that, they simply rest on former laurels. I was convicted of sin, oh yeah. I confessed my sin and I believed in Jesus. Yeah, that was very real. But for so many Christians, that's where it ends. And that's not where God wants it to end. Where God wants it to end is that we're filled with joy and peace. The God of hope. We hope that one day we will see Jesus revealed. What a wonderful time that will be. Can you imagine sitting on a white horse, clothed in white linen, behind the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as he leads us to victory? Oh, doesn't get any better than that, does it? The God of hope. He wants to fill us with joy and peace, but we need to get that by believing. And he does that so we should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked early in the early service about in Acts 2 where the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the believers were filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It was a wonderful time. So we come now to the end of this passage in Romans. Believing that we should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the concluding words of Paul to the book of Romans. Now, the book of Romans is so full of deep theology. A lot of things, you know, we don't understand. I remember, I think it was last week we talked about Adam and Eve. I like to ask the question, who was the first to sin? Adam or Eve? And the answer is Adam. Isn't that interesting? Romans 5 tells us, by one man, sin entered the world. By one man. And that's the responsibility that men have. That's why they're the head of the family. They carry the responsibility for the family. It is, as I pointed out before, it is an awesome thing to read the Old Testament where it says that God will take the sins of the father and lay them upon the third and fourth generation. But God is a God of mercy and compassion and love. And he wants us, as we believe, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to abound in hope. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank thee again for these powerful words that we read here. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and for the deep words that he's written. Some that, as Peter has said, are hard to understand. But we thank you for the Holy Spirit who interprets for us the scriptures, leads us to truth. And so we leave this morning with great hope, empowered by the God of hope. And so with this hope, we pray this week, be with us as we live for you, Lord, believing that you want us to have joy abounding. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.